Experts in end-of-life care tell us that we should talk about death and dying with relatives and friends, but how do we get such conversations off the ground in a society that historically has avoided the topic? The new book, Let's Talk About Death, Asking the Questions That Profoundly Change the Way We Live and Die, provides one example of such a conversation. The co-authors, Steve Gordon and Irene Kakandas, take up challenging questions about pain, caregiving, grief, and what comes after death. Their unlikely collaboration is itself connected to death. The murders of two of Irene's closest friends and Steve's support in perpetuating memories of those friends' lives and not just their violent ends. Steve Gordon is a massage therapist and founder, executive director, and primary massage therapist for a nonprofit program called the Hand to Heart Project, which provides free in-home massage and compassionate touch to people with advanced cancer. He also was a newspaper writer and editor working for the Keene Sentinel and the Valley News. Irene Kakandas is the Dartmouth Professor of German Studies and Comparative Literature at Dartmouth College, where she is also involved in the Medical Humanities Initiative. The name again of the book is Let's Talk About Death. It is published by Prometheus Books, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Steve Gordon and Irene Kakandas to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Steve, let us begin with you of how this whole project began, because it all started from a murder in the community and ended up in a conversation that ultimately resulted in this book.
That's right. It started, the very beginning of it was at the time of the murders of two Dartmouth professors who were very close friends of Irene. I was working at a local newspaper. And we connected a year after the murders. I was helping her and some friends commemorate them in the newspaper. And then it was really, that was our first connection. But years went by between that and our next one when I started a nonprofit that provides massage therapy to people who are dying of cancer or living with cancer in treatment. And it's a longer story, but we connected over the start of that program, which led to us having a couple of in-person conversations, and she was leaving the country for a while, so we moved it to email, and it kept going.
Irene, when you think about how it started, obviously the idea was not, oh, there's going to be a book in this someday.
Oh, not if we're talking about the loss of my precious friends, no. That was experienced very personally by me and many, many people in this community who loved them and knew them very, very well. And of course, no one expects a murder. So the last thing on my mind was ever a book about it. Although because I am a writer, I felt the need to write about that for myself. And eventually some of that writing did make its way into print.
And I was referring more to the conversation that you had with Steve and the questions that the two of you batted back and forth about life and death.
Well, maybe I could just, on that score, just mention that when the Zantops were murdered, this campus was absolutely inundated with media people of all types, and that really ended up feeling like an assault because these journalists of all types were not interested really in the Zantops as people. They were just interested in the horrific side of what had happened. So when Steve turned out to just be a nice cooperative person, that left quite an impression on me. And even then, you know, I didn't think he'd be a part of my future. But once we actually met face to face, it was the person I was expecting, which was a kind, interested, sensitive person. And so the conversation took off very, very quickly, and we could hardly stop ourselves. If we hadn't had appointments coming up, probably it would have gone on all afternoon.
And it was actually the idea was at the beginning that we would just, once it was clear that Irene was going to be leaving and we wanted to move it to email, it was just to exchange writing, just to explore our thoughts about the subject. But that was not what we intended at first would be the book. It was just to see what rose out of that might become a book. And it just happened to be that eventually we thought the letters themselves worked as the book.
Of course, this started from a very violent death, but you you were looking at just the nature of death in the book and talking about how one lives and how one dies. It becomes much more general then, doesn't it?
More general, and also trying to give some analysis of different types of deaths. So we do talk about sudden death. That's a topic that I felt the need to explore with Steve. But we also give examples of and are thinking quite a bit about just the fact that all human life will end at a certain point. So that's the general philosophical issue. And then different types of death, death in old age, death for children, death due to disease, death due to general decline.
And most people, I don't remember the numbers, but far and away, most of us will die in a way where we have an approach to it. We're aware it's coming. Our family and friends are aware it's coming. And, you know, a lot of our thinking was that this is something that's worth thinking about. And it's not just about having your advance directives filled out, but how do you want the fact that you're mortal to affect both the way you die and the way you live?
You have a conversation in the book about what comes after we die, and that seems to be one of the things that so many of us think about, isn't it? It's really sort of the next question. Well, now what?
That was an issue for us, and I think it's a great example of how the fact that we're quite different people led to a real exchange of ideas. I think if you both agree on everything, it's hard to have a conversation. And the fact that we had different conceptions, different doubts, different ways of conceiving what happens after death was really productive. And the feedback we've had on the book so far is that readers find that very helpful too, to see that we don't agree with each other and we can both still explore it with each other.
Steve, give us a sense of where you don't agree, of how you would kind of sum up your individual arguments.
Well, you know, in terms of what comes after death, I have absolutely no certainty in my mind about what's next. I grew up Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. I have a lot of friends from and acquaintances from different religious perspectives. I'm aware of what a lot of different people think, and I just haven't got any sense in my own mind of what definitely is going to happen next. Deep down inside, I think there is something that's next. I just don't have any idea what it is. And I mean, without putting words in Irene's mouth, I think she has probably a little more formed idea of that.
Irene?
Sure. I think a little bit more of a formed idea is correct, because in the religious tradition I grew up in, which is Eastern Orthodox Christianity, we know that this life on earth ends, but we believe that life in the Lord is out there for us. And what's very interesting is we're not privileged, we're not told what that will be, except that it will be union with love. And that idea of union with love is about as great as it gets. So it's something to look forward to rather than to be afraid of. But a lot of the typical conceptions in Western culture about clouds or angels or harps, you know, this isn't really part of our worldview.
Right.
We're humans, so we're not really meant to know exactly what that's going to be.
I found one of the most interesting parts of the conversation in the book was about grief. It's an interesting topic, but it's also a very complex topic to get a handle on, I would think.
Yeah, well, it has so many layers to it. I mean, people think of grief as just the period you go through after someone close to you dies. But again, since most of us are going to have an approach to our deaths, there's a period of grief experienced by the person who's dying for the loss that's taking place and that will take place. And there's a sense we talk about in the book about this sort of anticipatory grief that you can even have. You can understand how the people close to you are gonna be grieving for you. And there's so many layers to it that affect both how your death will go, how your life will go as it leads to your death, and how the people around you will experience that.
I think I was also given some great advice. At one point, my father had a heart attack and was facing open heart surgery, and a very smart therapist said to me, don't try to predict, if you lose him, don't try to predict how you'll grieve. That's very counterproductive. Try to let whatever you're feeling just be what you're feeling without judging it. And that advice has been incredibly helpful to me. I got that advice before we lost the Xantops, and I think the intensity of the grief that I felt for them really took me by surprise. And if I hadn't had that sense in my head that I didn't want to stand in judgment of myself, it would have been hard to deal with the intensity of that grief. I wasn't related to them. I had worked very closely with both of them. I considered them my closest friends here. But still, on some level, the way it absolutely ruled my life for so long was a surprise. And it was very, very important to be gentle with myself about not standing in judgment of that grief. As Steve said, there's different kinds of grief. And my dad suffered long after that heart attack from dementia and other kinds of health problems. And he had a very, very slow descent to his death. And at each stage, I was saying goodbye to him. I was saying goodbye to the dad that I knew. I was saying goodbye to the dad who could physically move around. I was saying goodbye to the dad who could respond. And that was a very, very different kind of grieving for me that took a very different pattern.
And I guess that underscores that the no two deaths are alike in the sense that we react differently depending on the relationship we have.
With our relationship that we have with death and with the person who's dying, the way my dad died was an entirely different story. It's also in the book, but he died very suddenly and of a couple of heart attacks in a pretty short time, and I was 27 years old and clueless, and that stayed with me for a really long time, and I'm sure that's influenced some of how I feel about dying, because I'm very aware that it could happen to me and at any minute. And I work through my nonprofit with people who are, it happens to almost everybody. Most people who are diagnosed with cancer, one day they think they're fine, another day they think they might not feel great, but the day after that they're suddenly diagnosed with something that's life-threatening, maybe life-ending. Having thought about those things, including how you feel about death and grief ahead of time, I guess our premise is that can't help but help.
Irene, what do you think people ultimately get out of reading your correspondence?
I hope that they get some faith in themselves, that whatever happens for them, whatever they're feeling in extreme situations especially, is okay, that they, like myself, would try not to stand in judgment of themselves. But most importantly, what Steve and I, the reason we decided to go public, so to speak, and actually put this into book form and try to have it reach many people, was that we feel that these conversations are difficult to have, and if we could model for people that it's okay to think about these different aspects of our approaches to death, and both our own but also of people we love, that they would have these kinds of conversations in whatever form, shorter, longer, written, oral, in a group, just one-on-one, with people they trust, and that would enhance their lives by the fact that they had thought about some of these questions. My hope is just that people will read the book and will say, oh yeah, I really do want to have some of those topics discussed. I will reach out to so-and-so. I will try to have those conversations. That would be a great result.
I would add too that it's the tremendous potential value in just putting out, either in writing or in conversation, what you think you think. And having it, first of all, having it in front of you in some way so that you can think about it, analyze it maybe, but also having someone else, either in a group conversation or one-on-one the way we did, react to it, tell you what they think. And what we found in putting this together was that both of us felt change happening. I didn't suddenly become a completely different person in my approach to death, and neither did Irene, but there are subtle changes, and at the very least, in maybe a comfort level in thinking and talking about it.
The name of the book is Let's Talk About Death, Asking the Questions That Profoundly Change the Way We Live and Die. The book is published by Prometheus Books. Steve Gordon and Irene Kakandas, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks
for having us on.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.